Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's August 26, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Tonight we're celebrating the summer that's almost over. We had a great July Good Beer Month, and we inducted some new New York City and Long Island bars into the Good Beer Seal. Joining us tonight is Ray Darmstadt of the new great St. Gambrinus Beer Shop. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Thanks, Jimmy. How are you?
Well, it's really been great seeing you develop. You guys have been open 1 year now.
Yes, we had a great weekend for our anniversary this past weekend.
And you guys really very quickly became one of the go-to places for craft beer in New York City.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we got to hang out at the Edible Good Beer event. You received a Good Beer Seal.
Which was awesome.
So what does that mean to you?
It just means that we're, you know, recognized by our peers. You know, voted by everybody else in the business, and just it means a lot. So even, you know, just open up a year, there's a lot of hills and valleys that go through when you open up a small business, and getting something like this is just, you know, it's just a real plus for us. So,
you know, I know one of the things that you're doing that got you the Good Beer Seal is you're hosting, you know, unique, you know, beer events, launches, releases. What are some of the beer events you've had recently?
Well, what I like to do is kind of promote the self-distributing guys. Our first event was with a brewery from Queens, Finback. Then we did an event with Other Half, which went over great. And then we did two Thursdays ago an event with the gentlemen that are here, Secret Engine. So that was really awesome day. We had the Gravity Keg on the bar of their Sticky Hand Worker, and also Rocky Point's Pilsner Sixtel, and a lot of interest, a lot of people there, and the kegs kicked like in an hour and a half or whatever. So it was a really good day for us, and a good day for them too, I think. So
you're in Brooklyn. How do you go about setting up these events? Because I think it's interesting for people that aren't in the industry.
Well, you talk to the brewers if they're self-distributing, or you talk to the rep from the distributor, or you talk to the rep who works for the brewer, and you just sort of say, hey, we want to, you know, do something. Do you have anything special? Can we put together a date? And then once we get that finalized, we sort of go on social media, send out tweets, put up signs. If they want to promote it, they can, you know, cross promote it as well, and we just go from there.
Well, you definitely have one of the more unique places in New York City. So you brought the guys in tonight. So you got Mike from Rocky Point, and I can't remember, but you got Mike Voigt, Rocky Point, Mike Mare, and Matthew Molina from Secret Engine. So
yes.
You guys, tell us about that night. You guys made a collaboration beer, and you went to St. Gambrinus. Tell us about that experience, why you guys picked St. Gambrinus, and, you know, well, talk us through that night.
Because they love our
pretty
place.
Interesting.
Well, there's another one of us from Secret Engine isn't here, Dave. And me and Dave frequented St. Gambrinus. Dave lived across the street. And when we brewed this first batch, me and Mike got really excited. And we're starting with one cask, then we went to two. And we're like, let's do three. And we're like, we need to get this out. So Dave went in to talk to Ray about, you know, just, hey, we have this new beer. We're finally launching. Would you want to do a cask event? As
cheers,
we
guys.
All cheers to the Sticka Handwerker.
Sticka Handwerker.
But yeah, that. So unfortunately, Mike.
Wait, Mike, how do you say it again, Mike Voigt?
Sticka Handwerker.
So unfortunately, Mike couldn't be there that night.
I love a good German name. You know?
Because yeah. He was celebrating his 26th anniversary. So we'll do another New York City event where Mike can be there.
Well, tell us about the collaboration process. So you guys, Secret Engine, are you guys a brewery yet?
We are looking for a permanent home. So we're doing the gypsy route, getting, you know, it's wholesaler's license, all that to you know, work with Mike until we find a permanent place in Brooklyn. I reached out to Mike, and he knew the struggles of that with his own brewery and the hurdles he had to go through. So he's like, hey, come on out, you know, come to my house, have some beers. Let's talk about beer and music. And that's exactly what we did.
And yeah, we just kind of hit it off.
Yeah. We have a weird connection, the two of us.
Yeah, a lot of similarities.
Yeah. And then Mike's, you know, Rocky Point does very traditional, like, German styles that you also do other things, but you're...
No, Germans and Belgians. We try to put our own spin on them, but...
And the stuff I like to do is, like, I do a blonde with rosemary and mint. I do a pale with smoked Tabasco peppers. I like to play around with things and not smack you in the face with it, where if I didn't tell you what was in it, you wouldn't necessarily know. You'd just be like, oh, what is that? So we actually really collaborated quite nicely on this recipe.
Went back and forth for, like, about 3 weeks until we really tweaked it the way we wanted it. Kind of came out really where we wanted it to be, too. And just...
So then what was the process to make the beer? You went out to Rocky Point, Mike?
I started going out to Rocky Point. We started cleaning kegs, cleaning equipment. You know, I'm like his intern. He's like, Mike, my bathroom's dirty. Go clean it.
No, it wasn't that bad, man.
So we just started. We had, like you said, it was about 3 weeks. We went back and forth with his recipe. We ordered all the ingredients, and then we just brewed it.
Yeah. I looked out of the box. Beer's not brewed to any style. It was brewed to how we felt like we wanted to taste something. Mike's an excellent taster, and he likes to cook.
Yeah. I graduated from culinary school a long time ago. It was a really fun collaboration, and now we've already collaborated on a second recipe.
I think everybody here's got to taste it. I mean, anybody else want to add a note?
Ray, what do you think of this? So first, tell us what went into this beer. So what is it called again? The Sticker what?
Sticker Handwerker.
Sticker Handwerker. We're kind of letting the beer sit on its own, where Sticker means secret around the Dusseldorf area. Handwerker means artisan. So we took the secret from Secret Engine and the artisan from Rocky Point Artisan Brewers. But we wanted the beer to stand on its own and not really give you an opinion before you taste it of what's in the beer. We want you to like the beer, enjoy the beer. We really do. We worked hard at creating it, but we don't want it to have a note of...
We don't want to tell you what you should be tasting.
Exactly. Ray, we want you to enjoy
the beer.
What do
you taste as an expert Goodwood Seal bar owner?
It's got all the malt, and it's got some sort of like herbal spice on the finish that I'm getting right now.
I can say we didn't use any herbs or spices in it.
No.
We can say it's 6 malts, 3 hops, yeast, and water.
It's Reinheitsgebot. It has all malt, yeast, hops, and water, and that's it. The 4 traditional ingredients. But we think we've brewed it far outside the box that we've made these 4 ingredients taste like other things.
Mike, you have excellent German pronunciation.
Yeah.
Not only because I have a couple of German friends who tell me how to pronounce these things before I do it. Otherwise, I really don't know Deutsch.
But was that your choice to focus on German? You're doing German and Belgian beers at Rock.
You know what? That's the beers I like to drink most of the time. So that's the beer. I brew the beer that I like to drink, and then there was extra, I sell it.
You know what's awesome? I know, like, for Ray at San Cambrinas and at my place, Jimmy's number 43, what keeps me going is meeting guys like you. And every few months, I keep meeting new brewers.
Yeah.
From the area, but you know, I've heard about you guys. I remember 2 years ago you did a special night at Spite and Dival in Brooklyn, and it's the first time I've ever had your beer. So
thank
really
you,
great having you guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
and their pilsner was awesome at our event too. So
one of my favorite parts of being out at Rocky Point is getting to taste everything he's got.
I like tasting things too.
So what's Rocky? So where is it? It's in Suffolk County, but what town?
It's in Rocky Point, so it's kind of out there. It's before the Forks, but, you know, you're going to take a hike from here. There's no doubt about it. It's on the wrong side of the tracks, too.
And then can people visit you? Do you have a tasting room?
We do not. What we have is a farmer's market every Sunday. So there's a farmer's market in Rocky Point. We get to interact with the public, let people talk to the brewers and taste the beer at the farmer's market. Otherwise, it's basically on tap at local restaurants and beer distributors close to us. And we switch around the places that take it. small batch brewery. There's only about 50 gallons at a time. Sometimes we do a double day batch. There's 100 gallons, but the beer goes quickly. We don't have to advertise too much. We enjoy the beer we make. We like getting it out there.
I think Mike and Dave said you were three barrels.
I think that's what it turns out to. Yeah, I think 100 gallons is about three barrels.
All right. Well, cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
So, and Mike, what was cool? So you were at San Gambrinus one night with the casks, and the next night you brought me a sample at Jimmy's number 43.
Don't tell Mike. Mike's really against me bringing samples.
No, it wasn't the samples, man. I just didn't want you to. I wanted to keep the secret thing about it. It's not that I do this all the time, but I thought that this beer was kind of nice being secret. Not just the collaboration, the way it works is if we told you what the ingredients is, you'd be looking for those flavors. At this point, you get to taste the beer and decide what you like yourself.
Something really fun we've had with this beer actually is not many people saying the same thing about it.
Yeah. It's like the Emperor Wears New Clothes. You see what you want to see.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. So it's kind of cloudy.
It's not very carbonated.
It's kind of casky.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we even had
the cask and the sixth.
The cask, and then we had the sixth for our anniversary, which is still up and still selling very well. But that's not very carbonated as well. But you told me that it was...
That's intentional.
Yes, intentional, yeah. So...
Awesome. And our another good brew seal owner, Sam Barbieri from Waterfront Ale House, just walked in too. So let's get him a sample because he's another expert taster in the room. Let's just scoot over. Let's get Sam a spot. You guys can share and all this stuff. But Sam, we were just talking about what the good brew seal means and by extension how we get to meet all these great cool new brewers. And I know when you started Waterfront Ale House, over 1989, right?
Yeah, about 25 years now.
You're out there, yes. You know, at the forefront. What does it mean to you now? I mean, you've been in the Good Brew Seal for a few years, and what does that mean to you? And how do you want to represent your place? Because you've really been like a leader in craft beer in New York for so many years.
Yeah, when we first started, it was really hard to get craft beer here. But I'm always looking for something new. I'm looking for something local. People that have a real passion for what they're doing, and it comes through in their product a lot of times too.
We're going to put you on the spot because we've been talking about this beer, and these guys made it. Let Sam taste it, and I want him to tell us what he thinks of it, what style he thinks it is, or
a nice malty nose.
It's malty.
It's good, yeah. It's really malty. Not a lot of hop, but it's got enough hop to balance it. It's real chewy.
But this is what the guys have to go through. I mean, for years, you've had people bring samples to you every week, and you have to taste and choose what you're going to buy.
A lot of times, I shouldn't say a lot of times, but every once in a while, we get some samples, and they're not always great. And we're like, well, you know what? I'll think about it. I'll see. This is really good. This is very drinkable. I could see doing something like this in the cooler weather in the fall. It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like slightly smoky, but it's not smoky at the same time. So,
this is what we're really enjoying. It's like hearing everyone say so many different things because you're not reading something saying, oh, this is what you should taste. You're just experiencing it with it's a blank,
slate. For me is that there was this
because we enjoyed it.
Yeah. Get on the mic, but just go, Mike.
Sorry,
hey, say it again.
We enjoy it. We brewed it because we enjoyed it. That's
yeah. No, that's awesome. Because like for us, it's like there was a cask ale thing, and we got a buddy from England here today. We'll bring him in later. But remember, it kind of went up and down, and then suddenly everyone was putting, this is maybe 6-7 years ago, every brewery was putting like Imperial IPAs in cask and just right from their tanks. And there wasn't any sense of like, what a cask ale is. But this beer, I mean, this is what I would want from a cask. I mean, wouldn't you, Ray?
Yes.
No, we agreed to, as a matter of fact, we carbonated it in the kegs, more of a cask, style, because we thought the beer served better. With a cask carbonation, it just the flavors come through. Also, we prefer you not to serve it as cold as possible. There's a lot of flavors that come
out. We tried
a
different
warmer,
carbonation levels, and we realized that the lighter
carbonation made this beer taste better.
So, Mike, are you going to do other stuff similar to this without you know, as much carbonation, or?
Well, the next batch, we'll see what we're going to do. We do have a new recipe fermenting.
We've already worked on it a second.
Yep. And then I think everything's going to be different. We're going to let everything kind of tell us what it should be.
Okay.
Like once we're telling it what we want it to be, and then when we taste it finally, we'll be like, okay, this is how this should wind up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, we ended up the first batch had 6 different malts, 3 hops, and 1 rather specialty yeast. The next beer we made with the same specialty yeast and 1 of the malts. The rest of the ingredients we changed. So there's 2 hooks that hold on to the same, but the rest is all different.
Did you guys bring another beer too?
Oh, well, we brought a lot of this.
How many
beer,
beers did you bring?
Because we're really proud of this beer. I brought 2 other beers that I made personally, and Mike brought 1 that he made personally.
So let's pick a beer. Let's pop it. And Ray, another question for you. So what do you think about the role or the need for cask ales in like New York City beer bars now?
You'd probably have to ask Alex Hall about that, but I don't personally have enough room for a cask. I really think cask, you have to have like enough demand for it because the shelf life on it. But you know, I really think cask ale should be pushed because it is so good. If it is very good. So
and Sam, what about you? Do you think there's a place for cask ale in typical beer bars in New York?
Yes, but it has to be handled properly.
Yeah.
And I don't have the proper facilities to do it. Mm-hmm. We've tried it for a while, and I'll put a pin up on the bar occasionally, but I don't have the proper storage to really condition them and serve them properly. So at this point, we're not serving them.
Yeah,
you got to have the demand for it. So, you know, they've got to sell out fast. You can't really have a cask sit around for more than like a few days, I guess, or else the beer's going to go bad.
Are you guys going to be trying to focus on doing like fresh local casks?
We had a lot of fun doing these ones. So with each new recipe, we actually might do that.
At least one cask.
With much better planning, though.
Yeah. And Mike, wait. So you're pouring us another beer. What's this?
All right. This is a neat beer we made. This was a farmer's market kind of original. So we collaborated with Davis's Peach Farm, which is a local peach farm. We used our Ardennes triple recipe. Ardennes is a Belgian yeast strain that we kind of weeded through to get the Belgian yeast strain we wanted, and added just a small amount of the local peaches to the Belgian triple.
I can taste the peaches.
Yeah, but it's not a punch in the face, right? I mean, it's enough to balance it. At least that's how we thought about it.
That's great. I tell you, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our sponsors, greatbrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. So we're talking with our friends from St. Cambrian's Beer Shop, Waterfront Ale House, Secret Engine Brewing, in Rocky Point. It's a great little show here. Again, give a big shout out, heritageradionetwork.org. Check it out. That's our home site. That's our network. And you can be a member too. So heritageradionetwork.org. All right. So Mike Voigt from Rocky Point, you just paired this other beer for us. It's a peach something.
It's a peach triple made with the Ardennes strain of triple yeast. We paired with a local peach grower, Davis's Peach Farm. I do a farmer's market every Sunday, and Davis's Peach Farm is at the farmer's market, so we got
it's right on Long Island.
It's out on the east end of Long Island, Suffolk County.
Yeah, no, it's pretty great. Sam and Ray, what do you guys think of this beer? Any tasting notes?
I like it. I'm not a big Belgian fan. I'm more of an IPA guy, IPA Pilsner, but I really like this a lot. And the peach is so subtle; it's really good. You know, but
that's
really
kind of what I tried to do.
Yeah, of course.
I don't like fruited beers. I don't want to taste a wine cooler when I'm drinking a beer, and I've got beers like that. So I tried to balance the peach where you can still taste the Belgian yeast through it, and I think you can here.
Well, there aren't too many peach beers, so this is a good one.
You get just enough to know that the peach is in there. It's not overpowering. As you say, it's not a fruit beer, and you still get that nice sour finish at the end.
So on that note, there is a Dogfish Head has a peach beer, Festina Pesha. Have you had that?
Yeah,
that's more of a sour peach.
Yeah, it totally is. I appreciate that beer, but this is not that beer, not in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a lot more delicate.
Yeah, I'm seeing more brewers are putting fruit in their beer, but trying to make a serious beer.
It's funny, and I started out saying, keep your fruit out of my beer. It wasn't my thing, but a lot of people like it, and working with local ingredients, you know, really turns me on. Working in a farmer's market.
I'm really glad that you came on and we got to taste your stuff, because I've heard so much about you guys, Rocky Point. In Rocky Point, Long Island, I didn't even know that was a town. Now I do. Did you know about Rocky Point,
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Rocky Point.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
But so you guys are still like working on that small scale, and you're able to, you know, improvise.
I think we want to keep it that way. I mean, this is where we feel good about it. You know, this is, if you get too large and you end up doing too much paperwork, and you're going to step out of that, you know, enjoying what you're doing thing.
So you guys are, you're hands-on artisanal brewers.
Yeah.
But as part of that, you actually have to do things, right? Like, so you have some skills, like you can work
absolutely
with tools.
But, I mean, I'm kind of a Renaissance man, so I learned how to weld and machine and work electronics. So I built most of my own equipment myself. I've been brewing for 20-some-odd years, just learning from other people all my life, and I enjoy the hell out of it.
And then what about with Secret Engine with Matt and Mike? Let's get Matt on too. So you guys, you're in the gypsy brewing stage. I mean, do you guys actually plan to open a brewery or two?
Yeah, the whole point was that's what we were looking to do, and we wound up at Mike because we just going through leases and everything, and everyone's like, oh, you don't want enough space. We want it to be small and local, something very local, sort of the equivalent of Rocky Point, but here in Brooklyn.
And how do you guys work? I mean, there's you, Mike, and there's Matt and the other guy. Like
Dave.
Dave, thank you. And what are the roles that you guys do and the skills you bring to it? So, I mean, for real, like, people want to know about you guys.
Mike's the brewer. He's the mouth. He tastes everything. He gets the accounts done. I work the back end, and Dave as well. We're a support team for Mike and his brewing. And
Matt was the guy who delivered the keg to us.
Yeah.
Matt does a lot of lifting.
I pick things up and put things down.
So what's your day job, Matt? What have you done before?
Before I was in the military before this, a couple of years ago. I write occasionally. I help build libraries. And I'm an odd man. I did electrical work at one point. I was part of a moving company at one point. My whole family's local, three electricians, so I learned trade from them. And I actually worked for Mike at one point in my life before this. He was my boss at another company. So, at a furniture company.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking before. Ray said how much he likes to deal with the self-distribution. I like that, too. I mean, I've got my guys, Barrier from Long Island and other half, and,
awesome,
and they're coming in every week, and that's how you get to know the brewers.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way to start.
Yeah. The first time I did it, I had no clue what I was doing. I had no clue how to write an invoice the correct way. I just fumbled it, but it worked, and we got our first.
Some big companies are good at writing invoices, but
as long as you got paid, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. You know, Matt and Dave are a good support team for me. Like, I try to spend now at least 3 days a week out at Rocky Point with Mike. I'm just learning a lot from him. You know, it's like he's truly a master craftsman. So being out there, I'm really, my skills are getting much better.
Let's taste one more beer. And then from San Cambrinas' cellars, we're going to try a Jack's Abbey. Let's do the Jack Abbey next. Okay. Break it up. Taste, man, all right. We'll do both. Let's Ray, why did you bring that beer? Because you got access to a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah, like I said, I really like hoppy beers, but it seems everybody's done everything they had to do with hops already, but nobody's really done anything with, like, lagers. So people were starting to come out with, like, India Pale lagers, which are awesome. And Jack's Abbey is just one of these, like, great, great brewers up in Massachusetts who do this. And I figured if I brought this, shared it with everybody, and people heard this, maybe Jack's Abbey will start to distribute in New York City, and I'll be able to get this. But this is one of our favorite brewers who we can't get in New York right now. So
that's you as a beer shop owner.
Yeah,
you're hoping to influence people's decisions, like to distribute in New York or not.
Yeah, and I brought in Hoponius Union, which is a wicked hoppy lager.
Let's pass it around. Come on. All right.
Who wants one?
And Sam, is there anything new that you've discovered recently that you really like?
I've seen more and more this summer that people are looking for lighter beers. Like Brooklyn, we couldn't give Brooklyn Summer away a couple of years ago. Everybody was still into the IPAs. I see a lot of the younger people looking for summer beers, less hoppy, easier drinking, easy to quaff. The
cheers
peach
to that.
Beer. Yeah. If you didn't tell me the peach beer was a triple, I would have never guessed it. It's so easy drinking, and it's just got a beautiful finish to it. That's a great summer beer. I could drink a lot of that.
It's been known as a panty peeler.
So, well, then it gets the job done at the end of the day.
It does.
Midnight Sun from Alaska has a beer called Panty Peeler.
It's a triple too. People talk about that for a long time, man. What a panty peeler is.
What is a panty peeler?
It's a beer that you have no idea how much alcohol you drank until you finished too many of them. And then you might
take
off your panties.
So you buy it for your lady friends.
Yes.
But that's another light sour tart beer.
That's a fun part of the job, man.
Right on.
Mike, so you do let people into your tasting room. That's it. Come on in. I'll let you taste the peach beer.
Yeah.
All right.
But what I was saying, the light summer beers, light tart, like Berliner Weisses, and Grimm has this Lichtenheimer beer, like a smoked sour beer. They're like all 4 or 5%. They're really doing well for us this year as well. So especially this summer.
You know, since Sam said, I'm going to give a shout out. We do an event every year called Pig Island, and Sam was a big part of it, did it for many years. But the thing, and Sam's a competitive barbecue, there's like this thing, Mike, Mary, and Sam, you guys went to culinary school. A lot of guys in the beer scene who have great palates start out in culinary school as chefs. But what Sam does, we're talking about summer drinks and everything, is the pairing of, he comes to a barbecue competition in the morning, he puts out his own head cheese, and he pairs it with what beer?
The Rodenbach.
And that makes my day anytime Sam's at a barbecue event. But that's something unique. You know, talking about what your skill set is as a bar owner, that is one of my favorite pairings in the whole world.
Yeah,
and how did you develop that pairing?
It's a great way to start the beer. That and a little mustard, the tart sourness with the fattiness from the pig's head, and a little a little caraway rye bread and a nice.
You didn't happen to
mustard.
Bring any, did you?
Oh, it's
Wait, so are you responsible for the hot sauce at your establishment?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah. Mm.
Matt cried when I made him taste it.
It's good stuff. We'll start. I've been barrel aging it. I've been getting barrels from Catoctin Creek. They give me their whiskey barrels, which they age their Ramstone rye in.
Then you put the hot sauce in it.
We make this. When I make a mash, I get all my peppers from Tim Stark at Eckerton Hill Farms in Lancaster County. And I just take whatever peppers he has every year. It's basically a field blend. We make a vinegar mash, and then just age them in the barrels for 2 years. Oof. I've used barrels from Old Potrero from Anchor. I've used barrels from Widow Jane, and recently Catoctin Creek.
Yeah. But how did you ever come up with the head cheese and rotenbach pairing?
It's just, you know.
That's what I love. I love that pairing.
Yeah. You know, you got to cut that fattiness. It's like a. Maybe I used to have a liverwurst and a bud. I don't know. Yeah. And it just went from there.
It's a contrast instead of marriage.
Mike Voigt, get on the microphone.
Yeah, you gotta,
I mean, it's a contrast instead of a marriage.
You have to cleanse your palate.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun here. What's the next beer from you guys?
Here,
are we going to do a Secret Engine or
a Secret Engine beer.
All right.
This is just a straight-up black ale. I had to experiment with things without any weird ingredients because of government approval. I was like, oh, I like this stuff, but it takes a lot of time.
You mean like bacon?
Not bacon. It's mainly just herbs. It's all herbs and spices. So this is just a black ale.
So what kind of herbs and spices do you need government approval for?
Rosemary and mint.
For real?
Yeah. It's not on the approved TTB list. Smoked Tabasco peppers are not on the approved list. Sage is not on the approved list. Pink peppercorns are not on the approved list. So everything I like to use.
That's the side of brewing I never knew.
Yeah, now it gets complicated. Label approval, it gets really complicated.
So every beer that you make, there's a unique label and has to be approved before you can sell it?
No. No. So if you brew with the approved ingredients under an approved, already named style, you do not need to get the approval. It's when you want to actually be a creative brewer that they make you jump through hoops.
So what ingredients are approved?
Oh, malt, yeast, hops, and water.
What about black peppercorns?
No. Now, don't start thinking out of the box.
What about
man.
Peaches?
Draw within the lines, man. Not peaches either.
Peaches either.
Wow. Draw within the lines.
So
man.
You guys can be as creative as you want, but you still have to.
Yeah, with those four ingredients.
Work with some regulatory things. It's interesting. That's pretty interesting. Have you guys ever thought about that, Ray or Sam? I assumed you just had to get your label approved. I didn't know that. I really didn't understand the process.
Every style, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Now they make
what if
they
you,
make
you
work
use
hard,
essential
man.
Oils?
As long as they're hop oils.
Yeah.
What if you made an oyster stout and you put oyster shells in? Is that approved?
No. It's not.
And this is what, the feds or the state?
It's the feds. It starts at the feds, but the states want to see you have federal approval to do it.
So let's say you made a new beer. So the Sticka beer. Does that have a label? Is that approved? Or that's just like a side project?
It doesn't have
to
be because it's got the four traditional ingredients. We worked outside the box and used exciting ingredients between the six malts, the three hops, and then the one specialty yeast that we used. So we think we kind of brewed something outside the box. It doesn't taste like a traditional beer, but we didn't have to go outside the box with the ingredients in this particular one.
Then is there a beer that you had to get special approval for?
Yeah.
Like, so tell us one, and then tell us the process. I'm interested.
Oh, no, you don't want to know the process.
Just give us.
I mean, this is about the most boring thing in the. It's the part of the job that I don't like doing. Who wants to do paperwork? You know, it took me 3 years to get a license just because of paperwork. So we try to avoid doing paperwork whenever possible.
But what beer did you bring that you had to do special paperwork?
Oh, that was that peach.
The peach. So what did you have to do? You just had to list the ingredients and
you
wait for the approval.
You just have to list the ingredients, and then you have to go for the.
So it's not so bad.
No, it's not so bad, but then you're beholden to the Department of Agricultural and Markets, which is a different department than you're used to working with the regular TTB and the SLA.
Do you have a farm brewery license?
I don't. I'd love one. I think it's a fantastic thing. I hope there's a whole lot more farm breweries coming out of the island. This is going to, up the malt that we are able to get locally, and let's bring it on.
Well, I'm going to make a toast to you guys. I think that, I don't think everybody realizes, I think people think it's so easy to jump from, home brewer to pro, and we talk about that a lot.
Oh, no.
But I think there's a lot more going on.
There is a lot more going on. You pretty much have to lose a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. And you got to be willing to do a lot of paperwork.
Sam, did you ever think of opening a brewery or a brew pub in all these years?
No.
Never did.
Mike, this beer is delicious.
No, I do. I have someone a contract brews for me. We collaborate on some of the recipes, but I don't think that I could devote enough time to be a brewer. I'm passionate about it. I like it. I've homebrewed, but it's not the direction I want to go in.
I get it.
All right. And Mike, tell us more about
like
this
you.
Black ale, quick.
Real quick, this black ale, I just wanted to do something. I love I like black IPAs, black ales. I wanted to do something that had less roast to it, and really just play around with the hops to add a different kind of slightly fruitiness. It was, again, it was just, oh, let me see. I want to try something new without herbs.
It's really good, by the way.
Thank you.
I like it, too. It's straightforward. Yeah. I mean, it's what I like about black beers. It's color and flavor, but it's not too heavy.
Yeah, it's got a nice bitter balance to it, but tasting the malt through it, I mean, it's delicious.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Today's featured music is a band called Eula. That's E-U-L-A. You're listening to Beer Sessions Radio on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're back here in Roberta's Pizza in the backyard in the shipping container of Heritage Radio Network. Great place to do, hearing this film 5 years now, and I'm super tired because I got up early this morning, and summer's almost over, guys, so we're all hanging out. But we got San Cambrinas Beer Shop, Waterfront Ale House, Secret Engine Brewing, and Rocky Point with us tonight. Cheers to you guys. So we're drinking the Black Ale, the Secret Engine Black Ale. Well, you guys were just talking about the peach beer again.
Yeah,
we were talking about regulatory issues and some other things.
It was just a flavor note on the peach triple that Mike did. That before he added the peaches, it was just peachy to begin with. Like something about the way it fermented. It was just like it screamed peaches. It's almost like the peach kind of balanced it all out and was like, oh no, I'm here now, so you guys can back off.
Yeah, it was typical. Temperature coefficient using the Ardennes triple yeast, that slightly higher temperature level, about 78 degrees, made the peach flavor come through the yeast before we even added the peaches. And then we added about, it was actually wooden crates of peaches to a 100-gallon batch.
Do you guys think, like, especially Sam and Ray, do you think that your customers are on a technical level of many of the brewers? Do you think they have a real technical education like some of the homebrewers do, or are they just looking for a beer that they like?
Some of them are. A lot of them just want to, you know, they look at the list and they're like, oh yeah, this is great. Well, let me give this a shot. And then other people say, well, what do you got that's light? But not too many people come in that are like so technical about, well, this tastes of this hop and this tastes of this malt or whatever. But you get a few of them come in like that. So, there's a whole cross-section that come into our shop. But, again, I've only been open a year, so I don't have all that much experience in that.
What about for you, Sam?
We have a lot of people that come in that are homebrewers, have known for us for a long time, and they can be somewhat particular. They have sophisticated palates, yes. Do I agree with what they say all the time? No. They're extremely hard to please. But the average person, if we can educate, give them a slight amount of education onto what to taste in a beer, they're really going to appreciate it a lot more. We usually give anybody that has a question about a beer, anything that's on draft, they're always going to get a taste before they buy it.
Yeah, we're the same way.
And we always, you know, we try and tell them, well, do you taste this? Do you taste that? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, well, this is the style of beer that you should be looking for if you buy a six-pack somewhere. Yeah.
And I find it
hoppiness? Do you like that West Coast style? Do you like, you know, do you like a light lager?
What beer did you bring tonight, Sam? I saw you walk in with...
Okay, I brought some beer that's probably older than a few of the guys sitting in the room here. So we'll finish with that.
But tell us what it is so we can look forward to it.
It's some old Thomas Hardy. and some Ola Dub that was aged in 30-year-old Scotch barrels.
Cheers to Sam.
We've had that on the shelf, and that's awesome.
Yeah. But this is like, yeah. Do you sell this at Waterfront House, or this is like just in your basement?
We dust off more bottles than we sell, but there is that niche, you know, when there's a nice coating of snow on the ground and you're thinking about a fireplace, that's when you're going to sell a beer like that. But I could appreciate it at any time. I'll only drink a few ounces of it, but anybody that has a good palate for beers is going to appreciate it, yeah.
Well, if anyone's out there, come join us at Roberta's after the show, because we have a lot of good things to drink. And you can do that anytime. You come to Roberta's,
and I'll give you a
6
beer.
O'clock, meet us in the back. We'll be drinking after the show.
I love the sherry out of the Thomas Hardy's. I mean, yeah. You can't beat it.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes with the itch.
There's like this neat marshmallow out of it, too.
Well, let's tell us what this next beer is, and then we'll go straight to that, because I think that Mike's excited about it. But what's this next beer you poured? Mike Voigt.
All right, so it's kind of neat.
Rocky Point.
Mike made this black ale. I made this black lager. We're on two different sides of the page with this beer. They're both black beers. This one used a dehusked, de-bittered black malt from Germany, and I added a bunch of oats to it to kind of smooth it out. So the lager smooths it, the oats smooths it, and the fact that it's de-bittered and you don't have the acid that you get from a roasted barley with the husk still on it. So I kind of find it to just be a smooth kind of stout. It sits at about 7% alcohol, so there's some ABV there that you don't really feel unless you know it's there. It's just, it goes down too smooth.
It's great. I mean,
it is very good.
Yeah. I mean, is it hoppier than the black ale, or is it just the bitterness or the roast?
It's totally
or
not. So the bitterness is coming from an overzealous amount of dark malts, but they're all dehusked and de-bittered.
Tell you what, if anybody has any, this is a great group of people here. If you're on Twitter, @beer_sessions, if you have a question, we can do a question from our Twitter followers, @beer_sessions, because some great people in the room, St. Cambrian's Beer Shop, Waterfront Ale House, Rocky Point, and Secret Engine. So this is pretty awesome. So we got a black lager, and we got a black ale. And I like dark beers in summer, I'll tell you that. But
yeah, that's awesome.
You guys are cool. I mean, I want to talk about Rocky Point because I've heard about you guys. And I'm really psyched to be tasting through what you're doing. And I feel like you're kind of like the future of beer. That you hear about all these breweries opening around the country, but most of them are nanos and brew pubs, which kind of fits. You know, it's like seems like every community should have their own brewery. I mean, that's how you feel, right, about your distribution.
Absolutely.
And everything.
I really like the effort community gets behind their local brewery. I don't mind going farther. I appreciate being in other places. I'd like to get the people in my town excited about my beer and get behind the beer that I make locally and not have to go distance to sell the beer. I mean, it is out of the box. It's the beer I like. It's not necessarily the beer everybody likes. I try to brew, you know, with a palate that says, you know, these people will like the beer, but I brew what I like.
You know, we like it.
Extra.
We're trying to support all the local brewers as well. So, help them out, helps us out, and our customers like to support local stuff as well. So everyone's a winner on that side. So,
and one of Secret Engine's missions is to bring back what a local brewery was, especially like with Rocky Point, is every small community had their brewery. That's how it was in the Revolutionary War. That's how it was in the Civil War. And that's what we want, again, is everyone has their local brewery. Everyone goes there, hangs out, drinks, gets to know everyone, and everyone hangs out. It's just,
and they make a
simple
revolution, yeah. You know.
Green Dragon Tavern.
We had a woman on, Christine Sismondo. It's called America. Her book is America Walks Into a Bar, and she talked about how before the Revolutionary War, it was actually taverns and pubs. This is where people met and they came together, and that kind of led to democracy.
And they all specifically made their own beer. Every tavern had their own. Green Dragon Tavern had its own beer, and we have an English guy here too. Be upset at us over.
Let's give an intro. This is one of our listeners from England. It's Garen Baker. He's been on the show a few times. Every time he comes to the States, he comes and visits. He comes to Jimmy's Number 43.
Hey,
Garen, thanks for coming over, man, and appreciate your listening. So, what did you think of the beers that we tasted tonight?
Always good to get me to speak at the end of the show, having drunk. Thanks very much. I thought all four beers were beautiful. The first one, especially. as soon as I tasted it, it tasted like a sort of traditional cask ale from England. It really did taste like that. And Mike made a really good point. You know, don't chill it down. You know, you don't want it that cold. And pubs tend to do that sometimes in England, you know. And more often than not, they go out of business, as most pubs do in England at the moment. But, yeah, beautiful beers. Really, really nice, yeah. Yeah, so different.
Do you think if someone was making a beer like that, super local and treated properly for cask, you think that there's a demand, whether it's England or America,
yeah, people definitely. Would go? Yeah, if the beer's good. I mean,
let's have more of that. Let's have more of the Sticker beer. That was pretty special.
I mean, there are a lot of pubs. I was saying to Mike earlier, there's a lot of pubs that are closing down in England, but there's a lot of local kind of like microbreweries that are, you know, are brewing and, you know, bringing their beers to pubs, and pubs are, you know, putting them on, and local supermarkets are putting those beers on. So there is, you know, a bit of that going on, which is great. You know.
All right, this is fun. But I like this. I mean, this is, I think, my criticism of cask. The cask in America was that, like I said, you know, it was 7 years ago, every bar was trying to do a cask program, and people were trying to sell you a system, but the beers weren't conditioned to be served as cask. Forget whether we can have the space to serve them or the knowledge. It was the actual beers themselves, and we were waiting for, you know, specialty beers from England that certain importers like Be United would send. But other than that, there wasn't really anyone making proper cask beers in the States. And this is the first I've had in a long time that I can say, wow, I like drinking this as a cask.
Yeah.
So cheers to you guys, Secret Engine and Rocky Point.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, what do you think, Ray? I mean, if you had more beers like this, would you put a pin or firkin on your bar sometimes?
I definitely put a gravity on the bar. And like I told Mike at the end of our event, you know, just let me know what you got coming out, and I got room for you. So, like I said, support the local guy, and Mike and Dave are awesome guys, and we'll see what we can do. But they're awesome, and we'll like I said, we'll support them.
I think one thing that I like is a friend of mine, Horst Dornbusch. You guys, some of you know him. He's the assistant editor of the Oxford Encyclopedia of Beer. And a few years ago, he said he felt that at this point now, new breweries should specialize in a style, whether it's German or English or Belgian. And I don't know. Is there something to say about that? You're saying you like Pilsners and IPAs, but at some point, do you think that breweries have to specialize?
You know, I think there's an interesting thing there. I've been a beer judge for many years. Went through the BJCP. But I think actually style stifles creativity. So I think specializing actually hurts the ability to keep making better and better beers. If you're constantly trying to brew to a style, it's great to learn the craft. But beyond that, you should get to a point where you're making something that people like, that you like, that's outside the box. Everything has already been done before. And if you're going to keep going with that, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt the ability to keep making better beers.
Someone's going to come up with something new.
Well, that's what America's doing, right? Breaking all the rules.
And speaking of going outside of your comfort zone, Mike is not an IPA fan. And Mike, by far, has brewed one of the best IPAs that most people outside of Rocky Point have not, and Patchogue, have not had the chance to taste, called the Crom IPA. And that was a phenomenal beer. Is it retired?
I didn't retire it. Just, you know, it came ridiculously expensive to make. That's one of those things, brewing to style and learning how to brew. It's not my favorite style, but I learned how to do it. I learned how to do it well. So
you're saying expensive? Why? Because you had to spend a lot on hops.
Oh, the hops are ridiculous. So to make the absolute best IPA, you got to throw a lot of hops in at the very end of the beer, and the hops everybody wants are the most expensive hops, so you're gonna put yourself out of profitability.
Even Jeff O'Neill from Peekskill was saying that a couple weeks ago on our show. Same thing. He said there's certain beers that everybody wants, but they only make in small batches at their brew pub.
Now it's great to put yourself on the map. Put your face on the map with them. And I get the appeal of the beer. It's not my beer though.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up the show. Let's just go around first. Ray.
Thanks,
say a few words about what you're doing at San Cambrinas.
Like I said, we just finished our first year. We had a great weekend to celebrate our anniversary. We had an awesome tap list, a Saison tasting with some of the new people who work in our place. And we're looking forward to our second year of business and go forward and keep doing what we're doing. Thank you very much for helping with the good beer seal, which will also bring in more people. But we're just going to continue what we're doing. So that's about it. Have more events and just have some great beers on tap.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Sam, Waterfront Ale House?
Yeah, we just keep on going. We keep changing our menu around. We're doing a lot of different barbecue and getting ready for the fall and Oktoberfest menus. Looking forward to upcoming events. Pig Island.
Are you going to be in Pig Island this year?
I'm going to talk to you later.
All right.
The Atlantic Antic is probably one of the greatest street fairs in all of New York City. That's on September 28th. We'll all be participating.
Yes, we are too.
Really good event. Excellent food all the way up and down Atlantic Avenue.
So that's a really great Brooklyn event, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the biggest street fair in New York City right now.
And I'll give a shout out too with Pig Island at ilikepig.com. In the next week or two, there's going to be the Pig Island ebook, and Sam's a big part of it. He's got his head cheese recipe. We talked about the famous head cheese and Rodenbach pairing. If you want to know how to make his head cheese recipes in there, and there's a great photo essay of Sam starting with a half pig and making competitive barbecue style, smoked pig. So. Cheers to you, Sam. You did a great job. We did that last summer. We had a great time with you.
Yeah.
And you make great food, too.
Good people deserve each other.
All right. Mike Voigt, Rocky Point, what's going on? What's coming up next?
What's coming up next?
New beers?
Well, the next beer is a collaboration beer with Mike Mayer here. It's yet to be named.
Yes.
It's a child we created, but we want to taste before we name it.
So this is really something cool. Secret Engine, Rocky Point, you guys are working together. Who knows where it'll go, but we like the beers.
Yeah, no, it's actually, we're having a lot of fun.
Good time is at.
Making good beer. So and that's the bottom line of what we're looking to do. So.
All right, and our good buddy Garen Baker from Devon, England. What are you doing this week in New York City?
I've got nothing to promote. I don't have a beer shop. I've never brewed beer, but I've drunk an awful lot. So here I'm just hanging out, drinking beers. That's about it, really.
All right.
Just lucky to be here, really.
Thanks for coming on once again. And also, big shout out Pig Island, pigisland.com. It's our fifth year. It's a great event. This year, we're branching out. We've got some great New York City breweries. We've got Barrier from Long Island, Single Cut, and Rockaway at participating, as well as Ciders. And we've got 25 great chefs from New York City. And all the pigs are from Flying Pigs Farm upstate. And also, check out our site, goodbrewseal.com. We're going to have one or two special Oktoberfests. Featuring the beers of Be United, some real interesting traditional historical German beers. It's going to be a different type of Oktoberfest. Check it out, goodbrewseal.com. And once again, thanks to our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Ray, Mike, Matt, Garen, and Sam for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. Who's Mike? Which Mike? Secret Engine plus Rocky Point equals good beer. All right. Heritage Radio Network, I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store.